Hello, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Ken Fallon, and this is the second in the episode on bash scripting. Today's episode is entitled Common Bash Commands. In the last episode, we covered a basic introduction to the Bash shell, and I showed you how to open a terminal. We even went so far as to write a Hello World script, which I hope you all have done. And so today we're going to move on. We are going to be doing one script, but we're going to be going through some of the most common commands that we're going to be using later on in some of our scripts. And even if you're not interested in Bash scripting, today's episode will give you a basic introduction to the Linux command line. One of the most daunting things I've ever done in computing was logging into my brother's, I think it was a 8086 PC, one of the original PCs, and I got an abort retry ignore error for hours, and actually, it was the terror of having thought that I had sent off nuclear missiles somewhere in the world. The word abort, I always heard it in movies. It was actually that made me want to change from doing mechanical engineering, which I was studying at the time, to get interested in the computing field. So, there you go. If it wasn't for terror of the command line, you wouldn't actually be listening to this right now. However, back to the today's lessons. One of the tips that you can do when you do arrive at any system that is prompting you with a black and white sort of terminal, it can be a bit daunting. So, but you have to realize that the programmers of this system have left you some sort of breadcrumb trail in order to find your way around. The most useful thing that you can probably do, and probably the safest thing to do, is either type question mark, which in the case of Bash won't help you very much, or you can type HELP, the help command. In most systems, proprietary or open source or whatever, if you type help, you will get some sort of help indication. And in Bash, when you type help, you'll get a list of commands that are available in Bash. And typing help, then the name of any of the commands listed, will give you more information about that command. So typing help space help, for instance, gives you detailed information about the help command, which is probably not very useful to you at this stage. You can also get more detailed information about a command by using the man command. Now, man stands for manual, as in it's a reference manual. It's an electronic format of the book that should be shipped with the programs. And just in case you forget, the fifth line of the output from the help command, which we typed earlier, makes reference to the man command and the info command. Now, we're not going to be dealing with the info command a lot because although it's arguably a better format than man, it's not as widely used on other systems, non-GNU systems. You can also use the command apropos, which is actually a shortcut for man space dash k, which is listed on the fifth line of the help command, which we've just typed earlier on. And if you type apropos, followed by a word that you're interested in, you're going to get a list of all the manual pages that have that word listed in the short synopsis. Apropos space help, or indeed man space dash k space help, you're going to get a list of not very useful commands, actually, to be honest with you, that have the word help in their title. Now, the reason these man pages can be a bit daunting if this is the first time that you've ever come across them. And they're not actually intended for new users of Bash, for instance, or new Unix Linux users. They're intended for experienced admins who've either forgotten something or experienced admins who've come in from another system. Or when I use the term admin, I mean users. That's not to say that there's not useful information here for the novice. So, for example, if you type man space intro, it's going to give you a basic introduction to man, and it's or to the bash system itself and some various commands. So it's actually a good topic for homework today, is to go and run the man space info command and have a little read of that. Don't be too worried if you don't get it all. Don't be too worried if there's bits that you have to skip over. There's also documentation shipped with your distribution, and it's usually stored under /user/share/docs, and in our case we're interested in /bash. But these are compressed to save space. It's probably not a problem if you browse to them on in a GUI or file manager or whatever, but on the command line you need to go into use command zmore to be able to read these files. But let's not, just one last thing about the help, and that is that you can usually also type the command name. So if you find out a command, for instance, on a bulletin board or some, or on a wiki or something, you can type the command followed by --help or --h for short. Usually what I do is, if I'm looking up something and I don't know, if I have a problem and I see a list of commands given on a wiki page or on a forum or something, what I'll do is I'll type man space and the command name to see exactly what it is that the user is trying to do. If I'm familiar with that command and know more or less the intricacies of it, I might just type man space --help. Okay, now while the man intro is a good start to learning bash, the learning curve can be quite steep. Now, my personal opinion is that there's a need to have some better command line guides given put into distros, which are Linux distributions. But given the focus on the GUI and making that easy to use, I very much doubt if that's ever going to be addressed. In order to keep the distribution short, they're even compressing the manual pages, which I've shown here before. So I very much doubt they're going to put any additional files onto mainstream Linux distributions. By the way, I'll have a link in the show notes to what a Linux distribution is, if you think of it just as a supplier of a Linux system, in the same way Ford supplies a car and VW supplies a car, or an automobile. A Linux distribution like Ubuntu or Fedora are just assemblies of the same thing. The components may be the same, but under the hood it's Linux, with a lot of GNU tools, hence the word GNU Linux. Learning curves. There is a learning curve before you can start getting comfortable with the command line, but it's a journey you only need to make once. Now, while the syntax may change from time to time and from system to system, the core knowledge that you're going to pick up will remain valid for years to come. And this explains why the man pages are deliberately kept so terse. They're meant as a reminder for someone already familiar with the command, rather than as a first introduction. Now, as we promised earlier, this is going to be an introduction to some basic Unix commands. And, as you'll all know by the end of this series, I plan to do no actual work. So I've asked and received permission from Chess Griffin to use extracts from his podcast series, Linux Reality. Now, Linux Reality was a podcast series that ran for 100 episodes from February 2006 to March 2008. And the snippet we're about to hear was from episode 14 entitled Command Line Basics, and it was originally aired on the 17th of May 2006. And it was as valid now as it was then.
This is Linux Reality, episode 14, Command Line Basics. So let me talk about a few basic commands to help you start getting your way around the terminal. Open up a terminal in whatever desktop environment you want to use. It doesn't, you know, whatever you're using, KDE or GNOME or what have you. Just open up a terminal and you will see a prompt. Now, the prompt contains a lot of information in it. It usually will have, I mean, sometimes it will have the name of your directory. If you see a little squiggly line, a tilde, it's called a tilde. It's the character that's in the upper left-hand corner of your keyboard next to the number 1. That's called a tilde. That the tilde character stands for your home directory. So sometimes the prompts in different distributions are a little bit different, but it generally will contain where you are, what directory you happen to be in, and it will have a little prompt sign, a little dollar sign or something like that. And depending on whether or not you're logged in as your normal user or as root. So let's just start with some basic commands right from where you are. Don't do anything else and just type the following, ls. That stands for list. And that is a way to list the contents, the files and folders, or files and directories, of the directory you're in. So presumably you're in your home directory, and if you were to type ls, you would see a listing of all the files and directories contained within your home. So if you were to then open up Conqueror or Nautilus or another file manager to your home directory, you should see the same information. The same files and the same directories should be listed. Now, in Linux, there are also hidden directories and hidden files, and those begin with a period. And you don't normally see them when you just do a regular ls or when you just open up Conqueror and just list the contents of your home directory. You often have to toggle the view mode, if you will, so you can see the hidden files. And hidden files often have configuration settings and other things like that are accessed by programs, but that you don't normally need to access, which is why they're hidden in the first place. But in the terminal, if you were to do ls-a, the dash A stands for all, now you would see a list of all the files in your home directory, hidden and non-hidden files and directories. Now, another way you can list files is using the dash L option. So if you were to do ls-l, you would see a listing of all your non-hidden files and directories in a sort of a long format, you know, with additional information. Lists your permissions and who the owner and group is and the date and all of that. That's the dash L option. And let me stop right there. Let me explain something I probably should have said right off the bat. The syntax of entering commands. Generally speaking, commands are entered in the following syntax in the terminal. You'll have the command first. Then you'll have a dash with any options that are available. And then you'll have what are called arguments or what it's affecting or what you're doing. So let me give you an example. We just did the ls command using two different arguments. We did dash l and we did dash a. Now you can combine the options. Did I say arguments? I meant options. We did the ls command with two options, the dash l and the dash a. You can combine them. So you can have ls dash la. That's two options. And then the argument in this case is going to be which directory you're executing that command on. If you leave it blank, it will be the current directory. But you can put in a different directory as an argument. So type in the following. ls space dash la space /usr/bin and then enter. So that is now doing a long listing of all the files in the USR bin directory. So those are the three components of entering the command in at the command prompt. Not every command has options. Not every command requires arguments. You can often find information about commands by typing in man, M-A-N, and then the command name. So you can type in man space ls. The man stands for manual or manual page. Linux contains documentation about all the commands. They're called the man pages, and I think there's a man page for almost everything. And so you could just type in man and then space and the name of the command, and you'll see the syntax and some examples and some information, some help on how to use a particular command. Okay, so that's the ls, the list command. The next command I'll mention is cd, and that stands for change directory. It's a way to jump around to different directories. So you're in your home directory, and if you were to type cd space slash usr slash bin, you would jump directly to the USR bin directory. So cd, you can change directories. If you're in a directory, if you're in your home directory, and let's say you have a subdirectory called music, and you want to go into that folder. And if you're in your home directory, you can just do cd music, and it will take you into that subdirectory. Now, if you're in your music subdirectory and you want to go back up a level to your home directory, you can do cd space and then two periods, or cd space tilde. Takes you directly to your home directory. All right, the next command I'm going to mention is the sort of two different commands that go together. One is cp for copy, and one is mv for move. Copy, cp lets you copy files from, you know, from one directory or location to another directory, and mv allows you to move the file. So it actually, it's like a, you know, it just moves it, so you don't have two copies, you just have one copy that's been moved from one location to another location. The move command, mv, is also used to rename files. So if you're in your home directory and you have a file called test, and you want to rename it to test backup, you would just type mv test space test backup, and it would just move it from test to test backup. There's the command rm for remove. It's almost like a delete, but now you got to be careful. Anything that's removed with the remove command cannot be undone. And then another command, sort of a basic little command here, is mkdir, or make directory. This is how you can create directories. If you're in your home folder and you want to create a directory called music, just type mkdir space music, and that will create a directory. Okay, a couple more commands here, and less, the command less, L-E-S-S, lets you print out a file, a text file to the screen. You can just basically, you know, print the commands print the contents of the file onto the screen. So if you have a text file called file.txt and you just want to look at it, just type less space file.txt, and it will show you the contents. You can use page up or down to scroll, and then Q to quit back out. You can combine commands using what's called the pipe character. The pipe character is above your enter key on your keyboard. I think it's usually a shifted backslash key, but it's a straight line, you know, a straight up and down line. And this takes two commands and pipes them together, or connects them together, if you will. So here's an example. Let's say you were doing ls-la. Okay, that's that command again to list everything, you know, in your home directory. So ls space dash la space pipe space less. What that will do is it will print the contents of your home directory. It will pipe it through into the less command, which, as you remember, what that does is it takes whatever the contents are and prints it on your screen, and allows you to do page up and page down. Normally, if you just do ls-la, and you have let's say you have 1,000 files, well, it will just scroll past really fast, and you may not be able to see it all. even if you have, you know, your even if your terminal has the scroll bar. Well, if you enter in this command, it will let you, it'll basically pause, you know, let you look at one page at a time. And you can just do page up or page down to go back and forth, and then quit to go out. But that pipe character combined the two commands. It combined the ls-la with less, and it put them together into one output. You can also redirect contents of a command to something else using the greater than character, which is a shifted period. That's the little triangle that's pointing to the right. So, for example, if you did ls-la space greater than space listfiles.txt, what that does is that takes the output of ls-la, and instead of printing it on the screen, it redirects that to a file. It creates a file called listfiles.txt, a text file with the contents of your home directory in it. Then you can just use less and look at that text file, or use some other, you know, text editor to look at that text file. Every time you did that command, the text file would be overwritten. If you wanted to append onto the end of the file, so the text file just continues to grow with more data in there, you would use two greater than characters together. So it would be ls-la space greater than space listfiles.txt. And then it would just keep appending the data onto the end of the file. It wouldn't be overwritten every single time. I do this. I have a podcatcher client that does it, that operates as a script in the command line, and I have it, when it's done, it prints the output of what it did to a text file so I can see what it did every day, and it appends it to the end, so if I miss a few days, I can go back and look at that text file. It doesn't get overwritten. So that's an example of using that type of character combination. Okay, so a couple more quick commands here. The first one is SU, stands for switch user. It allows you to switch from your regular user to the root user while you're in the terminal. You just type in SU, and it will ask you for the root password. And the prompt will also change after you complete that process to let you know you're now acting as root. And another little two final points. The terminal has what's called tab completion. So as you're typing something out, let's say, for example, you have a long file in your home directory called, you know, this is a list of all my files.txt, and you want to view the contents of that using the less command we talked about. So you would type in less space, and you could start typing this is a list of all my files.txt, but that's really long. That's a lot of typing. So if you were to just start typing it like this is a, and then hit tab, assuming there's no other file that has similar name, it will just complete the rest of the file name. It'll just complete the rest of the file name for you. It'll fill in the blanks. If you have two files that are similar, like let's say you have file1.txt and file2.txt, and you type in fi, and then you hit tab, you hit tab twice, it will list both files for you, and it will fill in as much as it can, and it will stop where there's a discrepancy at the one or the two, for example, and lets you fill in the rest. And then, of course, you can keep hitting tab after you type in the one or two. So tab completion in the command line is awesome. And then the last thing I'm going to mention is how to exit out. You know, you could type exit to get out of the terminal, or you could close the window. But me, again, being a keyboard shortcut guy, I just like to hit Control D, and that will exit out of the command line, exit out of the terminal, that is. So hopefully this has been helpful. I know it's been a lot, but that is all that I've got for this week. So let me close up the shop.
Thank you very much, Chess. First of all, thank you very much for recording that episode, but also Chess releases his work under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives US license, but he's given us permission to take snippets of his show to re-release here on this networking episode. I'm very, very thankful for him for all the work he did, and he's a scholar and a gentleman. And listening to that episode just made me remember how much I really look forward to his shows every week. And naturally, a link will be in the show notes. Now, I actually got some feedback from Jim Kerwin from Virginia, USA, and he had, amongst many other comments, he had an excellent suggestion to start each, to have each week a script that we would build on, where we could use the commands that we've learned so far. The script we're going to use is we're going to back up our home directory to a USB stick. And as the weeks go on, we're going to expand the script, and we're going to build in more intelligence, and we're going to deal with a lot of errors, and we're going to check for this, that, and the next thing, and we're going to deal with different situations that occur. And this actually is how scripts tend to be built. A two-liner is put into a script, and then over time it's modified and changed as things arrived. So, now you all know how to open a terminal, and we're going to create a directory called bin in your home directory. And the reason we're going to do this is because this is the traditional location for user scripts. And many distributions, Linux distributions, which we've talked about before, which are like Ubuntu or Fedora or SUSE or whatever, are set up to allow, and Debian, of course, and allow scripts in your home directory, which is /bin or /bin, the number to the left, the shift left of one on a US keyboard. So if you look for the one key, it's on the left hand side if you hold down the shift key. Yes, that was a lot more complicated than it had to be. Anyway, if you have /bin or your home directory, any commands that you put in there that are marked as executable will be included in the path, so that it's one of the places the system will look for commands. Okay, so you're on the command line, and I want you to type in some of the following commands. After listening to Chess's episode, you're going to know what cd does. Typing cd itself will change to the current directory, so if you do that, you will be in the directory /home, or you'll see a /, or /home, whatever. And if you do a ls, and you're going to have a look for the word bin. If you don't see it, then you can type mkdir /bin, and what that command is going to do is make a directory called bin. Now, in your text editor, in your GUI, or using whatever text editor you've decided to use following on from the first episode, you can now create a file called episode2.bash. You can actually call it whatever you want. Some people, I was asked actually what the convention was for naming files. I tend to call them .bash simply because I want to distinguish them as being bash scripts as opposed to shell scripts. Shell scripts tended to have an extension .sh, but I've seen scripts either not have an extension or whatever. Whether it is an extension or not really doesn't matter as far as it goes, but seeing as we're dealing with, we're talking about bash scripting, why not name them .bash? Okay, now for the next step, you're going to need a USB stick. And the USB stick's going to be big enough to be able to take in all the files in your home directory. So if you put that into your PC, and browse it using the GUI and your file manager, you can make a note of the path to your disk. Now, when I do that, I get a path coming up in my Dolphin web browser of /media/disk. Okay, now this is actually one of the things we're going to be improving on in a later series, but for right now, we're going to make a very dumb script that's going to assume that that is always the backup location. Okay, in you're editing the file in your home directory in the directory bin. So your home directory /bin/episode2.bash. And we're going to have the tic-tac-toe sign, !bin/bash. And we're going to type echo space double quotes. This is the backup script from episode 2, double quotes. So the next line of our script is going to be where we make a backup directory on the USB disk. And the command we're going to use is /mkdir/media/disk/backup. And the next thing we're going to do is copy over the files from your home drive onto the USB disk. But we haven't covered here how we're going to copy multiple files and subdirectories. So we're going to need to look up that. We did cover it in Chess's episode about the copy command, but now we're going to need to type in the console /cp. And we're looking for help on how to copy some directories. So we need to look for references to the word directories. Now, a quick way to search man pages is by pressing the /, followed by the search term. So in our case, we're looking for the word directory. So if you do type /directory and press enter, you're going to see the word directory highlighted in the name section where it says copy files and directories. So that looks good. We know we can copy directories at least. We look and we see something in the synopsis section, which it's always very confusing. It has a format which you'll get familiar with as time goes on. But for now, you can probably quickly jump over the synopsis section. And then we'll see in the description section, which has copy source to destination or multiple sources to a directory, which is exactly what we want. And if you scroll down even further, the next one is --r(-r)-lowercase --recursive. So the options here are uppercase R, lowercase R, or --recursive. All of those three will do the same thing, which is copy directories recursively. And what recursively means copy the directory and all other files and subdirectories under that directory, which is exactly what we want to do. So, well done. You've just read a man page and you are now well on your way to understanding what's going on. So the command we're going to use is copy actually, before that, normally copy doesn't give you any feedback. So as well as reading man info, your homework for this week is to find the option in the man page for copy that explain what has been done. And that's a hint. So you're looking for the option to explain what is being done. Okay, I don't think you can make that any clearer. Now back to the script. Under make dir line in your script, you can type cp -r and then the other option, then --\, which is your home directory, /media/disk/backup. And then as the last thing we're going to do is ls /al /media/disk/backup. Then you can exit and save the file. And then what we're going to need to do is change mod +x /tilde /bin/episode2.bash. And change mod stands for change the mode of the file. And that will create a very, very, very rudimentary option to backup your home drive. Now, a word of warning before you run that file. You are well advised to make sure that you have an empty USB a disk attached. You're also advised that the disk shouldn't have a subdirectory called backup in it. And you also want to make sure that it's got more disk space on it than the amount of space that you're going to be using on your home drive. Now, if you're relatively new to Linux, you're more than likely not going to have that much stuff on it. So you can go ahead and run that. And so long as the USB disk is empty, when it gets full, it'll just simply stop. Okay. However, the author accepts no responsibility for any damage in this program. Okay. Also, don't worry if you didn't get everything, all the commands that were in the show. They're all going to be included in the show notes, including the commands from Chess's segment. And I've also included a link to a very, very excellent one-page cheat sheet, which is a how-to command Unix and Linux command line reference. And it's created by flosswire.com, and it's released under Creative Commons share-alike attribution license, which means I can include it in reference to it in the show notes, and I can even distribute it myself. So what I'd suggest you do is print that out. Don't be too worried if you don't see if you don't know what everything in that does, but we're going to be covering quite a lot of the sections, quite a lot of the commands in that, some of which you'll already be familiar with. You're well on your way to Zen, my friends. And I like to thank everybody for all the feedback, and no doubt there are going to be corrections. So if you have corrections or comments or requests, please send it to feedback@kenfallon.com, and tune in for the next episode, which will be on basic programming concepts. Ooh, I can't wait.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.